The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Very familiar scripture. Verse 6 and 7, we always hear this at Christmas time. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's by the power of God that this is going to happen. This prophecy was given probably around 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. And as we look through the scripture, I mean, you go through scripture, there's messianic prophecies throughout the Word of God. And particularly, it starts exactly in the first book in Genesis. We see a messianic prophecy in Genesis that the coming one is going to stomp on the head of the serpent. And it's a prophecy about the coming Christ. And throughout all of Scripture, it seems like there's a prophecy and words concerning the anointed one that is going to come. He was called by many, many different terms, many titles, the anointed one, the Messiah, Mashiach, basically, actually is what Hebrew, Mashiach, HaMashiach, the Christ, the coming one. In New Testament, we call him the Christ because it means anointed. Basically, it refers back to Messiah. But basically, what we're looking at here is the one that God promised from the very beginning that was going to come and set man free. That's exciting to know that God, you know, this was not just an afterthought that Jesus was going to come. Amen. This was the plan. That's right. From before he even created the world. That's right. It was his plan. He was going to have redemption for mankind. Man was going to need redemption. Man was going to need to be saved from himself, basically. Because of our own desires, our own will, our own sinful nature. Of course, we all like to blame Adam for this, which we can't point to him. It was his fault in the beginning. But the truth is, if any of us had been there, we'd have done the same thing. Yeah. That's just the way it is. Yeah. Yeah. This is God's plan. And the sovereignty of God is so important for us to look at and to recognize throughout history. One thing, it's hard to reconcile sometimes in my own mind, and I think in the body of Christ, is, you know, where does the sovereignty of God stop and the will of man start? And vice versa. I don't know. I can't explain it all. All I know is that you have a free will to choose Jesus or reject him.
That's right.
There's no doubt about that. And yet, the Word of God is clear that God's going to chase after you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And chase you down so that you will, without a doubt, have the opportunity you need to know Jesus as your personal Savior. He's not going to leave anybody without that opportunity. God is that good. Yes. He is. And Jesus Christ is our Prince of Peace. And peace is what we're talking about this morning. The Prince of Peace. How do we get peace? My goodness. This is a world of turmoil that we're living in. Pick up a page, a paper, or I read most of my news on my iPad. And as I go through different articles. It's incredible the turmoil that's going on. Financial turmoil. Emotional turmoil that people are experiencing. Physical turmoil. Military and social upheaval. There are riots going on all over the world that we sometimes don't even hear about.
That's right.
Protests and riots because people are being taken advantage of and mistreated. Because the world that we live in is a lost and dying place.
That's right.
Expect these things. Jesus didn't say he was going to fix it all when he came. Now, if all mankind would accept Christ as a personal Savior, bam, that'd be it. Woo! Wouldn't it be wonderful? We'd just move right into the millennium. Jesus would come, rule, and we'd all live happily ever after and never, ever die. That's exciting. That is great to think about and look forward to. The problem is, it's not going to happen that way. We know that. The Bible is very clear on the prophecies that we read and we understand. Now, there may be some different interpretations of those prophecies, but it's the reality is if you realize that most of the prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that are taught in Isaiah, Zechariah, Daniel, Revelation, all those are futuristic prophecies, things that were to take place in the future and which are happening right now, many of them. It's incredible, the things that are happening. It's crazy what's happening right now. I just read an article this morning where China has asked the UN to create a world military governing body. To be able to send military troops. Now they already have a UN military at this point, but it's really the United States is what it amounts to. There's a few countries that are in there, but it's mostly United States. But China is asking them to put together a full-scale military, not only military but police-type force that would go over all the whole world and police the world. These are things that have been prophesied. A one world government, a one world currency, a one world religion. Do you realize how close we are to that? Popes running around all over the place trying to unite the world in religion. He's not the only one. And now we're talking about a world military force. Things are coming together quickly. People, we need the peace that Jesus gives. We need it now. We need it in our hearts. We need to be able to look at the circumstances and things that's going on around us without being caught up in the turmoil emotionally of what's happening. That's not an easy thing to do. We've got to find the peace of God in our hearts. I know where it is. But I don't always run to it.
Yes.
I know how to find it. The closer I get to the Lord, the more peace I have. But because of the turmoil, because of the lifestyle that we have, it's not always easy to find the time to draw closer to God, right? Amen. I'm not the only one in here, I'm sure. Things happen. But the reality is, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And the greater relationship we have with Him, the more peace we can have. Let's talk about Jesus as the Prince of Peace. You know, when you talk about peace, and war and all the things that are going on, you realize that, you know, wars, rumors of wars, they've been a part of history. Man is all about conquering man.
Yes.
Taking things that don't necessarily belong to them from somebody else.
Yes.
That's the fallen nature of mankind. Paul Harvey told a story a few years ago about a man whose son went to the army during the Civil War. He was in the Union Army. And when he went, he had, instead of going into battle, he immediately got sick and had a fever. They called it camp fever. And he was sick for many weeks. And the father was praying for him. And then the son got better. He went into battle, and he was horribly wounded. This man's name was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Of course, he's a poet. We all know that. And here's the words that he penned after he found out about his son. "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." That's, you know, that's, those are words of a father who's in pain, who sees that, who knows, on one hand, he knows that God has promised peace on earth and goodwill to men. On the other hand, he sees the pain and the destruction and the things that are going on. And I think many of us sitting here this morning, we can identify with that. We can, we understand, you know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but God, there are some things going on in my life and in my family, in this world. How do we reconcile this? It's hard. It's not easy. But there is a time when peace on this earth will be a reality. Complete and total peace. It's impossible for us to try to come up with total peace in our life. As much as I try, you know, one of the things I want to have is absolute place, absolutely have a place where I can go and there's nothing but peace. Does anybody have a place like that? Have you found a place like that in your life? I mean, Jesus told us to find a prayer closet and go there. And that's great, you know. But what I find is that when I go to my prayer closet, I'm not as alone as I think I am. It's my fault because I have an iPad and a cell phone, an iPhone. You know, I really believe we need to find this place of peace in our life. And try to put aside all the things that are distracting us in this world. Particularly this time of year, we need to think about it a little bit. Man, when Tammy and I usually go to Texas for Thanksgiving to visit our daughter. And usually, and when we get back, it's pretty hectic. There's a lot of things going on. Of course, it's real close to Christmas. There's parties to go to, people to visit, things that are happening that, you know, that just happen around Thanksgiving and Christmas. So all these things, and when we get back from Jessica's having a time of rest there, we hit the ground running, and we get started with Upward. We're doing meetings with our coaches and meetings with people that are involved with Upward. We're trying to get all these things together. We're trying to plan and prepare for Christmas parties with leaders and people in the church. We have family Christmas parties. We have all these things going on. You guys know what it's like. You know what's happening. And you just sometimes you just wish you could just say, forget this.
Amen.
Forget this life. You know, the most peaceful time I find is 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning when I go outside and take care of the animals that I have outside. You know, it's just, there's peace there. That isn't until I let my dog loose and then it's turmoil. But we're chasing peace, aren't we? I think we're all chasing it. Jesus is this Prince of Peace. Let's talk about him just a little bit this morning as our Prince of Peace. You know, everything in our culture really seems to be designed to take away peace. Somebody said they saw a furniture maker. He had a sign in his window. It said, antiques while you wait. Can you imagine that? How is that possible? You know, in this world, we are really rushing around here and there, to and fro. I realized something the other day that we are the only nation in the world that has a mountain called Mount Rushmore, and it describes our whole society. We're rushing here, and we're rushing there. We're rushing to accomplish things. And sometimes they're important things that we want to accomplish. And we should accomplish. But we're still just rushing around. Jesus is our peace. And I want to talk about this morning that he is a peaceful warrior. Look at Isaiah 42. Over a few verses from where we started. Isaiah 42, 1 and 2. Isaiah 42, 1 says, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets." This is really a very interesting scripture. It's a prophecy about the Messiah. But as you can see, there's really tensions between the two things. He's going to proclaim justice with one breath, and in the very next breath, he's going to do it without crying out or without quarreling. He's just going to be the one of justice. He's the one who can bring peace ultimately into our lives. Peace in the New Testament means to reconcile or join. It's very important that we get a concept of God's kind of peace. Because here in the United States, it's obvious to me that when we talk about peace, most of the time we're talking about something that is absent of turmoil. Any kind of turmoil. I mean, whether it's military turmoil or household turmoil. But yet Jesus, when he walked the face of the earth, he walked in the midst of turmoil. And he walked with ultimate peace. He was able to gather that peace inside of him no matter what was going on. I believe even when he went to the cross, he had the peace of God. Yeah. Not that that was easy for him. Right. I don't mean that. But he was able to, by the power of God, walk with the peace of God in his heart and know that God's will was being done. And I think that's why it's so important that we get into a place where we know that we know that we know we are in God's will. If you know that you're in God's will, you can recognize the peace of God. Because no matter what happens, if you know that you're in God's will, it doesn't matter if somebody comes up and tells you that you are doing the wrong thing. That you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be walking this way. You shouldn't be talking this way. That's wrong. If you know that you're in God's will, it doesn't matter how many people come against you and try to stop you. And I can tell you that from experience. That's the kind of peace that we're talking about. The peace that holds you fast upon the things of God. The peace that causes you to walk every step knowing that God has directed that step. Amen. It doesn't matter where you are. For me, it's a call of ministry. For many of you, it's what you're doing on a daily basis. It's your Christian witness wherever you go. It's who you are. in your family, in your career, in your life. That's the kind of peace I think we're all pursuing. Jesus is the kind of God and Son of God that is a peaceful warrior. Make no mistake, he is a warrior. But this first time around, he came as a suffering servant for us. But he's a peaceful warrior.
That's right.
He's going to return. The Bible says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. That means that his staff is going to hurt some people.
Yes.
Because they need hurt.
Yes.
That's not fun to think about. But Jesus Christ is going to bring all people in line when he comes back to this earth.
Yes. Amen.
Mm. All the kingdoms of this world are going to be the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Man, that's exciting stuff. We definitely see that there's war and rumors of war going on in our life, in our world today. According to Moody Bible Institute, these are statistics from a few years ago, but says that since the beginning of recorded history, the entire world has been at peace less than 8% of the time. 8% of the time. You know, right now, we have what has been declared as a war on terror. What does that mean? Really? You think about it, that's a never-ending war. Some people believe that's the reason they declared a war on terror. So that it can be a never-ending process of making money for certain people. Bankers have declared they make more money during times of war than they do in years of peace. In just 1 year of war. That's why Jesus is coming back. He's going to set all those things straight. All of them. It's not going to be anything like we can even imagine. And I can imagine a wonderful world. But we're not even going to be able to imagine what it's going to be like when Jesus comes. A study in 1988 showed that out of 3,530 years of recorded history, only 286 years saw peace. That was the 8% that I was talking about. 8,000 peace treaties have been signed, most of them broken. That's the nature of man. We're trying. You know, Jesus said that what's going to happen at the end times, they're going to be crying, peace, peace, but there's not going to be any peace. It's not going to happen. We must look to our Prince of Peace.
That's right.
Because he's the answer. The word in Hebrew, the word peace is shalom. It's used to describe, of course, the absence of hostilities toward people, toward one another. But the word also pictures some things that are so much more important for us to recognize. It pictures health, wholeness. It denotes harmony and completeness. In regards to a time of conflict, yes, it talks about the cessation of hostilities, but it's saying that even in those times when there's hostilities, we can walk with peace, with the Prince of Peace in our heart. Shalom is much more than just a quiet life. It's a peaceful heart. It's what Jesus wants to do for each and every one of us. John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But take heart. I've overcome the world." Hallelujah. Prince of Peace is on our side. Webster's Collegiate Dictionary talks about peace and harmony. And it talks about it in a way that it's a little different, agreement or completeness. in ourselves, inside us. Let me take the liberty to paraphrase what Jesus said about it. Jesus said, I will give you peace in your spirit. A course of life, not just once in a while, but a way of life that will reunite your body, your soul, and your spirit man into complete and total agreement. That's the kind of peace that Jesus has promised us. When that happens in our life, we can know Jesus as our peaceful warrior. The second thing I want to talk about is he's a gentle conqueror in these days and times. Verse 3 and 4 here in Isaiah 42. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and coastlands shall wait for his law. Oh my, this is the God that we serve. This is our Lord, our Savior. This is our warrior. He's a gentle conqueror because right now he wants to gently come in and conquer the enemies that we have in our lives. He wants to set us free. He wants to deliver us. He wants to move us in a direction. Now, this scripture is really interesting because it talks about a bruised reed. And in our time, we don't think about that too much, but reeds were used to make a lot of different things in biblical times, in Jesus' day and prior to that. They would make instruments, musical instruments out of, and all kinds of different things. But the problem is, if a reed was broken or bruised in some way, it couldn't be used. So it was tossed out. This word is telling us that even those who are bruised and broken, Jesus will not toss out. He'll fix us. He'll restore us. He'll give us the peace that is necessary. People in Isaiah's day knew exactly what he was talking about. He also talks about the putting out the flame. And what he was talking about was, of course, when their lights would begin to dim because the oil was running out, they would put out the flame to fill it up. Well, this scripture is telling us that when we begin to get to that point where we're running low, the Lord is going to fill us up without putting our fire out. We need to recognize how important it is to go back to God whenever we're running low. Keep filling up. You know, that's a tricky thing. You don't fill up a lantern when it has a flame in it. You know, most of our vehicles say turn your vehicle off because, you know, it's a chance of fire. My lawnmowers say, make sure you turn them off before you fill them up. There's a good reason for that. Because you spill gasoline, you're going to have a fire all over the place. But Jesus is the kind of Savior, the one full of peace that wants to give us peace, that comes in and fills us back up and keeps our flame burning. It's an important part of who we are and the peace that we're chasing after in our lives. To know that even when we get to that point where that peace is not there. Tammy told me this week, after such a hectic week, we came back. We had a Christmas party in Columbus that we had to go to and spend the night Saturday. I had upward training. We've had all kinds of things going on, trying to figure out all the ins and outs and ups and downs. And Tammy said at one point, she said, I just quit. Now, I know she didn't really mean it. She's not going to quit on me. But I understand it. You know, you sometimes get tired. But Jesus, our Savior, has promised that if we turn to Him, He'll fill us back up. Amen? And we need that. I'm telling you, I need fueled regularly because I run down. My flame gets low. But the power of God is above anything that we can imagine physically. It's the power of God to stir us, to increase in us, to fill us up. Isaiah's prophecy concludes, he will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice, peace on this earth. Jesus is going to accomplish everything he has promised. Jesus is going to give you the peace in your heart. When he calls you to do something, he'll give you the peace to accomplish it. It doesn't mean it's going to be an easy task. It doesn't mean that you do not have to overcome yourself in order to do what God has told you to do. You got to put your flesh aside and move forward. But if you do it, I can guarantee you, you will walk in the peace of God in your life. The interesting thing is that we have a supernatural power living inside of us to give us the peace of God. That Holy Spirit that is in you is God living in you. Do you realize? Now, I know we've talked about this probably most of us all our life. You know, this Holy Spirit thing, it's God. It's not it. He, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. God is in you. I don't know if there's any absolute scientific proof of this, but I've got inside of me tells me that when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's something, there's DNA change that takes place. Because we become a new creature in Christ. And it's not just something that we feel, it's the fact that we are different than we used to be. And that peace of God, if we will allow it, will lead us, direct us, and prepare us for the rest of our life. Today, God is working on your heart. No doubt about it. Some of you, you've come in here with a lot of turmoil in your life. And yet God has given you supernatural peace to be able to walk through it. Cry out to Him in those times. Seek Him. He's promised that He'll be there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's going to be there with the abundance of peace. And I can tell you this, there's going to be times in the future, because I just know life, that we're all going to need to turn back to the peace of God. Remember, Jesus is a supernatural human being. He was the only one, only human, ever to come to be born on the face of the earth and be perfect in all his ways, because he was all man, all God. When Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, it was the first time that the physical human being and the spiritual human being became everything that God created in the beginning. It became perfect. No human being had ever been that way since the fall of Adam. When Adam was created, he was perfect in all his ways until the fall. When that seed of God was planted in Mary, wow. Do we even think about that? The Holy Spirit came up on her, and the seed of God was planted in her. And it became a man. It was born It walked the face of the earth. He became everything we need.
That's right.
As Lord and Savior.
Yes.
And he took all our sins upon himself. I just find it, you know, sometimes when I think about these things, most of my life, and the reason I say this is because my whole life, I grew up in church. And it's not always, you know, I didn't always go to church because I wanted to. It was because my mom had a drug problem. She'd drag me to church every time the doors was open. And I look back on those years and I thank God that I had parents that had enough wisdom to raise me up and train me up in the things of God. But if we're not careful, if we've heard these things all our life, we don't think about how powerful it is that Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit, that God was born. We forget about the power that was necessary for all that to happen and take place. We forget about the fact that Jesus grew up just like all of us grew up as a person, but without sin in his life, his whole life. We hear all the Bible stories, and sometimes we just get so overwhelmed, I guess, sometimes by the things that we're taught, or we just get to the point where we've heard these things so many times that it becomes just another story. But it's important that we really think about what took place, why we are celebrating the birth of Jesus. It's not, you know, we all know, but sometimes we've got to, let's get our minds off from the material things of Christmas and get back to the spiritual things, the reason that we're celebrating.
Yes.
You know, it has nothing to do with a jolly fat man, elf, running around all over the world giving presents. I know it's just part of what we have to deal with. That's where it is. That's where we are. But the reality is, the Son of God came to earth for a purpose. He was going to fulfill God's will in this world and die on the cross for our sins. How powerful is that? That's the God you serve. He's on your side. He wants to give you peace today. The peace that just passes all of your complete human understanding. The ability to walk through every situation in your life knowing that your God is on your side. Stand with me. You know, when I think about how powerful Jesus is, I know this is kind of crazy sometimes the way I think, but these days, well, and it has been for many years, but Marvel Comics have been a big thing. My uncles used to collect comics, and they had stacks and stacks of comics, and these days, movies about the Marvel. Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, they're all very popular. And when I think about Jesus, I kind of think about him in those terms. You know, I think, wow, you know, this Jesus that we serve, he has the intelligence of Batman. He has the superpower, the strength of Superman. And he has the ability to do the things that Superman could do. You know, what was it? Faster than a speeding bullet and jump over up high buildings. The single bound. You know, if those things were physical attributes of Jesus, there's no doubt about it. When he comes back, he'll be able to do those things. He could climb on buildings like Superman if he wanted to. But that's not the Savior we serve. The Savior we serve has all the power of the universe to do whatever he wills to do. And you know what he wills to do? He wills to do good for you. That's why he died on the cross. He wills to accomplish much for you. He came down to earth for us, and he walked on the face of this earth. There's a story about a prince who desired to have a wife that wanted him for who he was, not for the fact that he was the prince. And one day he was traveling and he saw this beautiful young lady working in the village. And he thought to himself, man, she's beautiful. And every day he went by, he fell in love with her first sight just by looking at her. But he knew that if he went to her dressed as the prince, that she would she'd just want to marry him because he was a prince. So he came up with a plan, and he decided that he was going to leave the castle and go live in the community with that young lady. And he put on regular clothes, and he worked with him every day, and he started forming a relationship with him. Before long, they formed a relationship, and they fell in love. And what she didn't realize was that she had fallen in love with the prince. But the prince, his goal was for him to find a woman, a bride, that wanted him for who he was. Had nothing to do with him being the prince. That's a picture of Jesus. Jesus came from the kingdom of God to this earth. He walked as man. And the reason he came was so that he could have a bride that wants him for who he is, not just for what he can do. See, it's important that we recognize that it's just not all about what God can do for us. It's who Jesus is. It's who God is that we worship. We're seeking a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. If we want the peace that passes all understanding, we got to grow close to him. We have to have a relationship with him. He came that we could have that relationship. Today, I want you to go away from this place, recognizing that the peace of God is with you. It's going with you. It'll be with you. It'll direct you. God will comfort you in the turmoil and the difficulties. His promises are yes and amen. Let's pray. Father God, once again, we've come before you today because we love you. Our desire is to glorify your name. We come to Jesus, Lord. Thanking you, Savior. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for stirring us and drawing us. Help us, Lord God, when we fall short, draw us ever closer to you. For that's the only place that we can find the peace that we need in our lives. Direct your people today, Father. Give us strength. Give us power. Give us boldness, Lord, as we walk from this place, that we will be bold about our faith in you. That we'll tell people that Jesus is King and Lord, and he's coming back soon. Lord, I believe that with all my heart, that Jesus is coming. Soon he will return. Help us to be your vessels, Lord, wherever we go. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.